Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation with Tom Ferguson, Director of the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. Tom, you've been there 26 years. How has the organization and the business changed during this time?
Well, the entire security printing business has changed greatly. The number and variety of products that we produce has been greatly reduced. When I started, we printed all the Treasury notes, bonds, and bills that were issued. We printed the red strip stamps that used to go on liquor bottles. Some of us still remember those.
People told me of them.
Yeah, they're no longer used. Treasury notes, bonds, bills now are book entry. You go in, you buy it, you get a receipt that you've bought one, and there's an entry on the computer with your name saying you've lent the government X number of dollars. When I started, we printed a very fancy engraved certificate, similar to stock certificates. Stock certificates also have gone the way of the horse and carriage, so to speak. So a lot of the products that we used to produce no longer are done. Now we concentrate more on the security value of currency as opposed to just the volume. We have many more features incorporated in our notes. The notes are all different. The materials are different. The requirements for them to be machine readable and detectable require us to maintain them within very strict specification that we get right most of the time. Occasionally we don't. Partnering with the Federal Reserve much more so that the notes will work efficiently in their system. They become very highly automated and mechanized. They have to rely on the machines to sort, authenticate, determine note denomination and whether it's fit or not to go back out. And they require us to maintain very close requirements and specifications on all those features. So we no longer just look at the notes. We have to look at them with machines. We have to verify all the different characteristics. So it's a little different, in fact, a lot different as far as that end of the business. And certainly as far as being part of the government, much more interaction with other agencies, much more of an integrated system.
One of the challenges for some government organizations is the lack of a tangible product. The Bureau does have an output that's more easily recognizable. Can you comment on this difference and how having a tangible product or tangible products has impacted the management of the Bureau?
Certainly. It's something that we think is a great advantage to us. Certainly in the areas of being able to measure productivity, to being able to control costs, be able to determine our staffing levels, having a product, being able to measure the output of that product, the quality of that product, makes management probably much easier. That certainly only my experience is in that world. The other thing that makes us different is that we sell that product. We're not appropriated. We don't receive any appropriations from Congress. We receive all of our funds on what's called an industrial revolving fund. So we sell currency. We sell postage stamps. All the funds that we get for that cover our salaries, direct material, indirect materials, direct labor, indirect labor, general and administrative costs, building, all of our capital equipment, capital investment and equipment in the future, all of that is covered by selling product. So very much like a private sector firm, we have to cover all our costs. And that is a very good control over us. If we don't sell a product, if we don't manufacture a product, we don't exist.
You said that having a tangible output made the management easier. I wonder if you could describe how that is.
Well, it allows us to be able to establish goals. We use a standard costing system, so we know every day of every week, each shift, we run three shifts a day, what we should be manufacturing, what our output should be on each step through. We can evaluate if we're doing well, we're not doing well, very quickly. I mean, at the end of a day, if you haven't moved a pile of material from column A to column B on your spreadsheet, you have a pretty good idea that there's something wrong in the system where you need to be getting in there. So it provides easy to recognize measures. Everyone understands those. We meet to go over those quite often. And everybody has a good picture in their mind about what's going to be happening and whether or not they've accomplished it. It's one of the issues about the higher you go in management, sometimes you get further away from those easy to measure things. And it's harder at the end of every day to know whether or not you had a good day or not. It was nice in the early days when you moved the big pile from one side of the desk to the other and you knew you were doing better than everybody else or worse. But when you get into management, sometimes that is one of the frustrating points is to have that self-measure. But organizationally, we have very good measures.
The House Banking and Financial Services Subcommittee on Domestic and International Monetary Policy recently approved a measure that will allow the Bureau to print other countries' currencies. I wonder if you could tell us more about that.
Certainly, Paul. Currently, the Bureau is chartered to produce products for federal agencies. So we can print for the Federal Reserve or the Postal Service or Department of Interior or any of those. We can't print for state, local, or foreign governments. And we've asked to be able to do that. The primary reason for that is as we're looking to change currency more in the future, to add new techniques, new manufacturing processes, it's very difficult to go from zero to literally 100 right away, to be able to go from not running a particular type of equipment at all to running it 3 shifts a day, 5 days a week in 2 facilities. We have a facility in Washington and one in Fort Worth, Texas. What we would like to be able to do is to be able to ramp up these techniques, be able to train our personnel, be able to bring on these new technologies, test them, evaluate them, develop our people while we're manufacturing some products with the rigor of having to produce them to specification, meeting customer requirements and doing them at an acceptable cost, acceptable productive rates. In order to do that, we need some customers of sizes which are a lot different than the United States. And quite frankly, we don't like the issue of putting out some of these new things the first time we do it, billions of times on U.S. currency in a system that's worldwide. So being able to sell some of that work to other people and provide them with, again, a very good product at a very good price competitively, we think would be good for us, good for the American public, and good for our customers.
Let me ask you about just managing large numbers of things. The Bureau produces 9 billion Federal Reserve notes and 20 billion postage stamps. How do you ensure efficiency with these large numbers?
We would say it's easier with the bigger numbers. As with most manufacturers, volume is our friend. The bigger the volume, the more you spread your fixed costs, so that lower unit costs. Having more volume is something that makes us look like geniuses. Having lower volume tends to make us look less like geniuses. Volume is just simply setting up the manufacturing system, choosing the efficient systems, choosing good equipment, training the people, and staffing them and running them. We run, as I say, 3 shifts a day, 24 hours a day. We overlap so that we don't have to shut the equipment down. Those are things that are actually very good for us. It takes advantage of using very expensive capital equipment. It's better to run it, in our view, 3 shifts continuously, maximizing the output out of that high expense equipment and perhaps maximizing our labor force that way as far as you pay a little bit more for differentials for the off shifts. But it's cheaper than, in fact, having 3 times the floor space for 3 times the capital equipment and investment. So it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but it's something that we're used to, and until you mentioned it, I didn't think of it as an issue.
How has technology improved the printing process?
Well, what technology has done in the printing process we use is basically taking the same process that was used 100 years ago and doing it much faster. The printing process itself in Intaglio printing, so it's an engraved plate, ink's placed on it, wiped off, ink remains in the line, push the paper in the lines, and you get that 3-dimensional print that you would find on currency and like a high-quality invitation or business card. Taking that technology from being 4 notes at a time on a hand press to 32 notes at a time, 10,000 sheets an hour on a very expensive capital piece of equipment, doing that, and what's really changed is the materials and the support in order to be able to do that, have it dry, have it meet all the environmental requirements, which have really been Although we didn't change currency for 70 years, it seemed we were constantly having to change inks, materials, paper, in order to have them comply with the environmental regulations. And we have a very clean product, a very safe product.
You collaborate with Secret Service to combat counterfeiting. What are the keys to effective collaboration between the two organizations?
Well, it's actually, I think of it's more of a triumvirate. It's us, the Secret Service, and the Federal Reserve. We work very, very closely together. You need to have, in order to have a good counterfeit deterrence program, you need a good design, good law enforcement, and good public education.
It's a good point to stop on as we go to a break. We'll be back in just a minute with more of the Business of Government Hour.